Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Kevin and Andrew, and this is the Jayhawk Talk Podcast. Postseason edition, tournament edition. We got a lot to talk about, and Andrew, we even got us a bracket. How you feeling tonight?
I'm feeling very good, Kevin, and happy Selection Sunday.
Same to you.
It is a national holiday, at least for us Kansas Jayhawks fans. And happy Selection Sunday to all the folks at home. We do have a bracket in hand, and this is a fun day. I kind of like this day. You can have your tournament victory yesterday, which we'll get into. We'll talk about the Big 12 tournament. So you can, you know, bask in that victory. And then you can relax all morning, you know, check Jerry Palm's bracketology, check Joe Lunardi's bracketology, check Stuart Mandel or whoever it is running it at the Athletic or Sports Illustrated, whoever it is, just to see what the outlier bracketologies are, see where you are, see how you feel. Maybe you watch some random SEC title game, maybe an Atlantic 10 title game thrown in there.
I watched both.
You know. Yes, yeah, so did I. So you guys get to enjoy those games, and then comes the Selection Sunday show, which I don't think was that bad this year.
Oh, like, man, there were some pretty negative takes about it.
You know what? I thought it was better. I thought it was better than before. I actually liked it.
Interesting. I need to think about it.
I haven't seen these takes, so I may be an outlier.
They were literally all negative. I don't think I saw one positive. Yeah, I really didn't. The only positive I heard was when they interviewed Bill Self, and he said something somewhat positive about it. He's like, yeah, it's kind of interesting how you guys did that. Like, maybe that wasn't even positive. Maybe that was a backhanded positive. But
you know what? I do like that every region is now branded. This is the Coca-Cola Midwestern region, our championship partner. I thought that was kind of funny. Yeah. And maybe people just don't like Charles Barkley, but I love Charles Barkley.
He was great.
Even though he doesn't know anything about college basketball. And that's the argument against him. But I still love him.
He was actually really good. My favorite part about Charles Barkley on the show was when they got the I forgot his name, the Creighton AD, the guy that was running the committee. They got him on TV, and they're like, hey, 2-8. Oklahoma was 2-8. And you got him as a 10 seed. Does that mean they started off as like a 2 seed to fall?
Yeah,
and still
really.
Be in the bracket? He called him out. It was pretty good. I was like, there you go, Chuck. There you go.
You know, there were some bracketologies that had Oklahoma a 1 seed, you know, back in January.
Yeah, it's true.
So it's how the mighty have fallen. They shouldn't be in, but we'll get to that. So Kevin, just to give everybody a rundown and correct me if I'm wrong, but this is what we're going to do. We're going to take a look at the bracket from Kansas's perspective, and then just some tidbits about what we think's going on at different spots. Some of our favorite games, maybe things to look for, upsets. If you're headed to Vegas, maybe we'll throw in a couple of those. We'll do a little recap of the Big 12 tournament. I was there for the semifinal and final. They were fun games. They were fun. It was good to see Malik do well. Good to see DeSosa become a man. And then we'll end with the Jayhawk Talkies. This is our Big 12 capstone award that everybody's been waiting for. Award show. And there's, you know, KPMG, our corporate accounting sponsor, has not delivered me the envelopes of the winners yet, so we'll see if we get those in time. Let's talk about the thing that's on the forefront of our minds, and that is the bracket, Kevin. Just to throw out a question, how certain were you that we were going to be a one? Which I think it's pretty certain, but then beyond 100%. That, how certain were you that we were going to be in the Midwest?
I didn't know that for sure. I would probably say 90%, but I was 100% sure we were going to be a one seed after winning the league and the conference tournament. Obviously, I think that was pretty obvious.
How important,
especially
is that Midwest,
with Duke losing,
yeah, right?
And others losing. No one really showed. Like, if Duke had won the tournament, maybe that would have been interesting. But with them losing, I think it's pretty obvious. Sorry, what were you going
to
say?
Sure. How important is that Midwest to you? So if you're playing in Wichita and then playing in Omaha instead of playing out West, thinking Anaheim or whatever it is.
You know, normally I would say it's important. This team has shown a little bit of a struggle in front of home crowds. Now, that's different. Obviously, we saw them do well in Kansas City. So that made me feel a little better because that was technically a neutral site. But you know, obviously KU crowd, and that'll be the same in Wichita and Omaha, I'd hope. So like that made me feel a little better, but usually the West is not very good. And again, the West is not very good. Like if we'd have been put out there, I think I would have kind of liked it, even with Missouri and Florida State as the 8-9, Gonzaga, you know, Gonzaga is a pretty good four. So, you know what, whatever. I think we got a pretty good draw, but I think I like the Midwest, and a lot of that is based on what I saw in Kansas City.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, it's just thinking back to Omaha, we've had some crazy games in Omaha. That's where that Robbie Hummel game was.
Yeah. I remember
we watched it. Seems like just airport. These right, these random games that we have around here, we can always point to, like, you know, this happened in St. Louis, this happened in Tulsa, this happened in Oklahoma City, this happened in Omaha, that, you know. So Wichita is new. Wichita will have a, you know, it's pro KU feel to it. I think there'll be a lot of fans and you know, that in that new Intrust Bank Arena. So it's a nice arena. I think that they'll enjoy playing in there. But Kevin, let's talk about the opponent, Penn.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about Penn?
Were you wanting me to react to Penn? You know, it's so funny. It's so funny. Whenever you see, like, KU's playing this team, immediately KU Twitter goes, oh, they're so underseeded. This is terrible. This is a problem. Right. And, you know, I don't know. I'm sure they're fine. I don't know a damn thing about Penn. I know a guy on Twitter follows me that has a Penn degree and said he also has a KU degree and he's cheering for KU, so that's good. I know that when they reacted to the video and they are on the selection show and they showed Penn, like there was all of them are white except for maybe one guy. So maybe some 3-point shooters. So that's scary, but no, I'm not too worried about Penn. Maybe 16 over one never happened. Hopefully it didn't happen here. Knocking on wood, but yeah, I don't know. I'm not too worried about Penn, so maybe we should move on to the 8-9.
Okay, we can move on to the 8-9, but a couple things that the Twitterati reactionaries have thrown out there. Highest KenPom 16 seed since like 2006.
Okay.
And they're not in the bottom of KenPom. Like, they're not a bottom four. Like, they're... Like, per KenPom, they should be, like, a maybe 13 or 14. So, some to throw out there. That being said, not too worried about Penn. One thing that I don't know what interviews you've seen with Bill Self is that Bill Self did not necessarily make the claim or state that Doak would play Thursday automatically. They may or may not have him play and have him be ready for Saturday. So, something to think about. But, you know, with the emergence of Silvio, maybe not something to worry about.
Yeah, I think that will be interesting to see. Some teams that are around Penn, just for, you know, maybe some local knowledge. Missouri State is just above them. Florida Gulf Coast, the Dooley Bears, are right below them. And some other teams, let's try to see if there's anybody we played. Harvard is 144. So yeah, they're like right in the early to mid 120, 130s, right? Somewhere in there. Yeah.
Right.
So yeah, you're right though. Like that's interesting that there's several 13, 14, 15s, after them in KenPom, but whatever. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on Penn. Hopefully I'm not wrong on that. But the interesting, 8-9 matchup, Andrew, is the, Seton Hall, North Carolina State matchup. Looking around the 8-9s, like I just want to start there. Looking around the 8-9s in the East, it's Virginia Tech and Alabama, two teams who I think are better than the two teams we have. K-State and Creighton, which I'm not sure about Creighton, but obviously we know about K-State. That wouldn't have been bad. And then Missouri and Florida State in the West. And Missouri's obviously a wild card, and you know Florida State's pretty good. So I didn't mind our 8-9 matchup. Seton Hall's got a couple good wins. You can tell us about that. And North Carolina State's got some killer wins. We can talk about that. But overall, I didn't mind this the Wichita State lineup. What about you? Initial reaction. I'm sorry, the Wichita lineup.
The Wichita two-game tournament.
Games, as they'll say.
Would call it. I don't mind it. I think that there are two pretty good teams who can beat good teams. And as we've seen, and you'll say with NC State, NC State's beaten some good ACC teams on the road, including North Carolina. Seton Hall never took down a big Big East opponent, but you know, was there at the end, beat Butler twice. They beat Xavier, I guess. So I mean, they can beat Xavier at Xavier. This is not that long ago. So I mean, they can beat number one seeds in hostile arenas. Both of these teams can. But you know, once you get past that first weekend or that first game, all bets are off. These are all good teams from good conferences with good players and good pedigree. So we're gonna have to be ready to play, you know, no matter who it is. And you know, both teams will give us a fight. So what do you know about NC State?
Yeah, they've had some really good wins. I mean, just looking at KenPom, they beat Arizona on a neutral, who's 21st in KenPom and probably better than that. They beat Duke at home by 11 points. That's a heck of a win. They beat Clemson, who's 19th in KenPom at home. They beat North Carolina away, as you mentioned, in overtime, who's 7th in KenPom. They beat Notre Dame by 18 points at home. Interestingly, they also lost to Notre Dame by 30 away. So they lost to them by 30 on one time and won by anyway, kind of interesting. They beat Syracuse, decent team. They beat Florida State, who's pretty good, and Louisville. The one kind of interesting thing, they lost in the ACC conference tournament to Boston College, which is not a good loss at all. KenPom has this game against Seton Hall as a loss to Seton Hall, 81-80 though. So it's pretty neck and neck between these two teams.
Yeah, and on the Seton Hall side, just to give a little context, I was wrong about the Xavier win, but their best win is Texas Tech. I think they played in Madison Square Garden. This is back in November. They beat Texas Tech by 10. So we know how good Texas Tech is. We battled with them. They ran us out of Allen Fieldhouse. So these are teams that are going to be able to compete. I don't really know a ton of their players. Angel Delgado and Desi Rodriguez seem to be their two main guys. But Senior Layton, I think that this is a team that's been around, been together for a long time. I think three of their four best players are seniors with some other guys thrown in. So something to look at. As we kind of scout out the next game, if we are lucky enough to get past Penn, the Quakers of the University of Pennsylvania. But otherwise, Kevin, I think that this is going to be a tough, you know, first little round, but nothing that we can't handle. Let's kind of jump into the rest of the bracket. If we do allow ourselves to look ahead and just jump to that next pod, we've got Clemson versus North Carolina, or New Mexico State, and Clemson's the 5, and New Mexico State's the 12. And then you got 4 is Auburn, and 13 is Charleston. Auburn won the SEC regular season. Clemson made it to the ACC semifinal and, you know, played well all year in the ACC. Kind of a surprising team that came up and, you know, was very competitive. So what do you think about that bottom half? This would be a potential Sweet 16 matchup in Omaha.
Yeah, I you know, looking around again at the rest of the brackets, I actually really like this draw as well. I think we have one of the better draws to get to the Elite Eight compared to others out there. And in our 4-5, I think they're both really good teams. I mean, Auburn and Clemson both had really good years. I mean, I think KenPom, they're both like top 20 teams in KenPom. Auburn is 16th and Clemson is 19th. So, I mean, that's pretty good. But, you know, that said, New Mexico State is going to be a a flashy, kind of interesting 12-5 upset special. And, you know, I'm not sure I trust Auburn. I mean, they lost by 18 points to Alabama this week, this weekend. So, you know, I just think overall we got a decent draw as 4-5s go. You know, you look around, Arizona's a 4 in the South. Like, I would not want to touch Arizona as a 4. Like, that sounds terrifying. And Kentucky is a 5 in the same region. I don't want to touch Kentucky right now either. They're playing great. Gonzaga's a 4. Ohio State, I'm not too worried about. But you see, the like, I think overall we ended up okay there. And so I initial reaction, I think Auburn and Clemson are both good. I'm not sure both of them will advance, and we'll see. Overall, though, I'm not too worried about. I'm not worried is the right not the right words, but I'm happy considering other regions about the 4-5s.
All right, let's bounce down to the bottom section. This is a potential Elite Eight matchup. There's some teams in this little section of the region.
There's some teams.
There's some teams. If we're talking teams, we're talking teams here. So we've got the sixth seed is TCU. This will play the winner of the play-in game of Arizona State and Syracuse, who I both thought would be out. Was rooting for both of them to get in just for our purposes, RPI-wise, although it doesn't really matter. We did beat Syracuse and lost to Arizona State, if we remember, even though we'd like to forget. Then you move down and you have number 3 seed, Michigan State. Michigan State is a 3 playing Killer Bees, Bucknell Bison, as the 14. And then you go down and Fighting Hurleys of Rhode Island are the 7 seed playing the number 10 Oklahoma Sooners. A little surprising that they're in. And then you have two Duke. We'll get to that. We'll do some general reactions here in a second. 2 Duke versus 15 Iona. So you've got Duke, Michigan State, as those top 2 seeds, but also some gamers like TCU, I think, is really good. Obviously, we've seen that. Rhode Island is really good. They're ranked in the top 25. And then Oklahoma, you know, they have Trae Young. They do still have Trae Young. And Arizona State, potentially, is one of the only teams in the bracket that can say that they beat 2 number 1 seeds. They beat Kansas and they beat Xavier, and they barely get in, which is a weird statement to say. So, Kevin, the good thing we have going for us in this bottom half of this bracket is that if we make the Elite Eight, we'd only have to play one of these teams.
Yeah, that's right. And our buddy Parker at @pay_heat on Twitter put out a tweet, and I think he said something to the extent of, I'm paraphrasing, people all get riled up about you know the bottom of the bracket, but people forget we only have to play one of those teams. That's true. And my reaction to him was, I agree with you, Parker. I know where you're going with this. You know, obviously there's 5 crazy teams down there. We're not going to play all 5. But when you have 5 good teams, that also assures that you're probably going to play 2 of them. I mean, even upsets down there, even if you got an upset and clears the way, you know, you'd end up playing like a 9 seed in the Elite Eight or something. Like, that ain't going to happen in this one.
No.
You know, you got Duke and you got Michigan State down there. I mean, when we were talking earlier about the 4-5s and the draw that we had, I liked those 4-5s. I do not like the 2-3. We got maybe the toughest 2-3 out there. Looking around, who's a better 2 seed than Duke? I don't see one. And who's a better 3 seed than Michigan State? You could make the argument for you know what? I don't even think I can make the argument. Texas Tech, Tennessee, and Michigan, or Michigan State. Michigan State's the toughest.
Michigan State is definitely the toughest. Definitely the toughest. I mean, Texas Tech is full strength now. I think with Keenan Evans being back, and I think full strength. So they're going to be a team to contend with. But is Michigan State preseason number 1? Still have Bridges, still have other guy. You know, they're going to be a team that has been thinking in their head since the beginning of the year that we're going to win a national title. Duke's the same way. Duke was, you know, oh, they get Marvin Bagley. This isn't even going to be fair. Like, they're going to walk away with the title. Both of these teams are teams that if you would have predicted a national championship game in the, you know, first of the year, I mean, for when the season started, you say, okay, Duke and Michigan State would be my two people who'd play in the championship game. But they're playing in the bottom half of the Midwest as a 2 and a 3 seed. And Kansas is the one. We just happen to be on the other side of that. So, you know, people are saying in their projections that, you know, Michigan State and Duke are actually better than Kansas. But, you know, Kansas has the easier path because they'd only have to meet one of those teams in the Elite Eight. So, you know, this is an Elite Eight game where, you know, we've got to, we'll be tested if we make it that far, no matter who it is. You know, whoever comes out of there, we're not getting a walk into the Final Four. And, you know, you never expect that, and you're not going to get it here.
It's house money if we make it to the Elite Eight. It's kind of the way that I'm thinking about it with this season. I mean, if we make it to the Elite Eight, you're going to be playing a good team no matter what, most likely. Now, we might be playing the best team on the Elite Eight that's not a one seed. But then again, you know what? Like, that's how it goes. And if it's Duke, great. If it's Michigan State, great. If hopefully it's somebody else. but you know, it's probably going to be one of those two teams. And Duke and Michigan State already played once this year. They played there at the Champions Classic, right? And right. I think Duke won that game. I'm looking it up here. Yeah, they won by 7, 88-81, beat Michigan State. And so we'll see how that goes. But you know what? I'm not overall, like, when you get the bracket and you go, oh man, this is brutal, or oh man, this is great, or somewhere in between. I'm probably somewhere in between, but maybe lean toward overall not that terrible. Where are you at? Just gut reaction to the bracket.
Yeah, I think so. In terms of number one seeds, you know, would we rather have, like, you know, where what Xavier has? You are staring down the barrel of Mizzou there. That's a whole nother can of worms. But like, I definitely wouldn't want to be Virginia, looking at Kentucky, looking at Arizona in a potential Sweet 16. Like, that's unfair. Like, these are brand names, but these are really good teams, and teams that, you know, had some struggles but sort of figured things out. But those struggles are why they are seated the way they are. But that those teams are as good as anybody else in the country, and to see them that early is going to be pretty tough. But overall, I like where we are. We're going to stay close to home. I think that we're peaking at the right time, and I think that this team can take this Midwest, and you know, as long as they're playing their game, they can go and make it to San Antonio. But, you know, time will tell, and I'm excited for Thursday at 1 o'clock, right? Thursday at 1?
I think that's right.
Thursday at 1 o'clock. And then we'll go from there. You want to take the next couple minutes and just talk about maybe some of our other things we're looking at on the bracket? And I'll start with K-State. You know, Barry Brown got, you know, punched in the eyeball by Devontae minute one. So he missed missed the rest of the game against KU. They obviously sat Dean Wade. Presumably both will be back for the tournament, and they're going to give Creighton a run for their money. Let's not forget that Creighton, their best player is Marcus Foster, transfer from K-State. So this is a little homecoming for Marcus Foster. I think K-State gets the victory there. And then Virginia, I don't think that Virginia can overlook K-State. You think if K-State makes that second round, do they have any shot against Virginia? You know, like, and what I mean by any shot is they have like a at least a 20% shot.
Yeah, that's probably right. You know, they play sort of I wouldn't say Virginia or K-State plays a Virginia style, but they play a slow it down pace anyway. Dean Wade's really good, and if he gets back and he's playing well, they've got the guards, you know, to challenge Virginia. I think, I think K-State's got a chance there. If you give me Virginia versus the field in that top half of the bracket, and that's, of course, including Creighton, K-State, Kentucky, Davidson, Arizona, Buffalo, I think I'd take the field. And that's really just more of a reaction of, I think Arizona and Kentucky could beat Virginia. and if they don't lose to Creighton or K-State. And I don't think they're going to lose to Creighton or K-State, but I think they could lose to Kentucky or Arizona. I think that's a coin flip game, both those games, and because they're both playing great. And I know I'm that guy, and I haven't got on board, but I just don't trust Virginia. I don't trust Virginia in the tournament. They've been really good. They can score a little bit more than they have in the past, but I don't trust them.
Well, they're really good. I've watched them play, and I still think I'm that guy where, you know, I don't know if this team is what it is and deserves the number one overall, but yeah, I think they do. I mean, they're really good, but they're, you know, this NCAA tournament's all about matchups though. It's all about how things play out in front of you, who you're playing and when, and you know, how hot that team is. And I don't think that the selection committee did them any favors, staring down the barrel of DeAndre Ayton and John Calipari. Any other games stick out to you? You know, things you're excited to see?
Yeah, I think we talked about it earlier. The West Virginia Wichita State potential 4-5 matchup could be a ton of fun up in the East. That could be a lot of fun. I don't think either one of those teams beats Villanova.
No, well, I mean, West Virginia, we've been saying for the longest time, like, you know, West Virginia, they're tough to play in the tournament, but their results haven't necessarily, you know, been there year after year. But, you know, West Virginia could give Villanova a run just because they're a tough team to play and tough team to get ready for. This press Virginia style is something that we're accustomed to. And we've, you know, Devontae Graham has had to, you know, adjust his practice schedule around West Virginia, press Virginia, you know, for 4 years. He knows what's going on, but do the guys at Villanova, does Jalen Brunson know how to do that? It's a little difficult just because it's so unique. But Wichita State could be there too. I think Villanova is the class of that side of the bracket, or at least in the East. And I think that they'll go on.
I agree. Who's your 12-5? I have two that I see as potential possibilities. You always want to pick a 12-5. Who are the two, who's the one that jumps out to you?
Well, you mentioned earlier about New Mexico State over Clemson. That's one that I'll be watching, but I don't know if I'm going to pick that one. A team that we saw, South Dakota State, earlier in the year, has a guy, remember his name? Daum, who's really good.
He is good.
And he's really good. He's really good. We saw him play. We saw him live in person, and he is a player. He is a basketball player. Unfortunately, the rest of his team's not that great. But if that guy can just take over, you know, that could be an interesting game. Unfortunately, I don't know much about Ohio State in that matchup, but I just know that Dam is really good, and he could take that game over. You know, that's a game we won by, I think it was 34, but he ended up having, I'm checking up the box score now, he had most of their points. He had 21 points against us, and no one else could, but he could get whatever he wanted. Like, he was, our defense was focused on stopping that guy and that guy only. So that's a one to watch out for. What else did you have penciled in?
That was the one. That's the one I'll probably pick, honestly. They've won 19 of 20 games. Their only loss was to South Dakota, who was really good. And as you mentioned, that damn dude, he's good. Andrew, I just looked at their KenPom. They are number one in the country in turnover percentage on offense. They do not turn the ball over. Number one.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So
they're studious. Team. Those South Dakota Staters are very deliberate and studious, and they do not make mistakes. Unless they're in Allen Fieldhouse in November. All right, Kevin, any other upsets you see here? You know, you think this is going to be a chalk tournament? You think this is going to be, you know, mildly normal, or what do you think here?
Nothing's normal. I want you to pick. So every year we pick some crazies, and I think you've been pretty good at picking some real crazies.
Yeah, I picked. Let me think. I picked. I picked a Duke getting upset. I picked a Murray State upset. I might pick a Murray State upset this year too. I've hit some good ones, but like maybe people just don't remember the bad ones. But I think if you would have taken my upsets on the money line throughout the years, you may be up a couple bucks.
There you go.
Through all my crazy picks. Okay. If I had to pick a crazy one, I would go Stephen F. Austin over Texas Tech.
Okay.
And that's not because of the Lumberjacks run a couple of years ago. It's a completely different team. Kyle Keller is the head coach down there at Stephen F. Austin. Kyle Keller of KU video coordinator fame from several years ago, getting the head job at Stephen F. Austin. So that's a team to look out for. Even though I think Texas Tech is really good and they could go far. Murray State over West Virginia. I'm just picking its Big 12 teams here. Usually I just have Big 12 teams go far. That could be an interesting one. That would be a 12 over a 5. Otherwise, I think this Loyola Chicago team coming out of the Missouri Valley over Miami could be an interesting game.
Yeah, that's one of mine.
Otherwise, I mean, those are my big ones. I think those are my big ones. Anything for you?
No, you nailed one of them. Loyola, I'm picking Loyola over Miami. I can't remember his name. Is it Clayton Custer? Is that the guy from Kansas City, from Blue Valley, is their leading scorer? I think he's a Missouri Valley Player of the Year. Plays for Loyola Chicago, and he's a stud, man. I think Loyola wins that game. Another one, just kind of for some reason I've been thinking about it a little bit ever since I saw the bracket, was Wright State over Tennessee. Just throwing it out there. Just crazy 14 over 3 if we're talking crazy ones.
Do you know anything about Wright State?
I did know something about Wright State, but I've forgotten it because I did a bunch of research on about teams that we needed to draft in this thing, but for some reason they're still sticking out to me. And I also don't trust Tennessee. So that's 14 over 3. We're just talking crazies right now. We're just talking crazies. What's the most crazy 15 over a 2 you see?
Georgia State over Cincinnati. Now, Georgia State is that team a couple years ago where the guy had the coach tore his Achilles. Ron Hunter's his name or something tore his Achilles because he was celebrating his win of the conference championship game. And then his team won in the big dance. And he was on his little scooter celebrating after the game because he had torn Achilles. So that's a team to maybe look out for. Lipscomb beat Florida Gulf Coast, beat the Dooley Bears down there. Or for the Atlantic Sun title. So that's an interesting team. I don't know if they're that good. And I don't know if they can beat North Carolina. But if I was going to pick a 2 over or 15 over a 2, I'd take Georgia State over Cincinnati.
You absolutely nailed it. That's the one I'm watching. Georgia State. Andrew, they are 96th in KenPom. They aren't that far from Oklahoma State.
Not bad.
They are not bad. Give me Georgia State as the craziest upset special that we could possibly see. I'm not going to pick it, but that's one we're watching. So anything else, Andrew, that jumps out to you on the bracket before we get to some other stuff?
Just that a couple teams, Baylor was left out. I think Baylor absolutely should have been a tournament team, and Oklahoma State was left out. I can understand why they were left out, but there's no way that you can put Oklahoma in over Oklahoma State. That is ridiculous. And to give Oklahoma the 10 seed, I don't know. I think it's just they needed to get Trae Young in there, but that team has been playing terribly. Otherwise, I think they put together a pretty good bracket. I'm excited to see this all kick off Tuesday night, Kevin. It all begins Tuesday with the first four. We have Arizona State versus Syracuse. I think that'll be a good game.
Yeah.
That's actually on Wednesday, but that's a good. And then St. Bonaventure, UCLA, that's the Wednesday or the Tuesday play-in. Less interested in that one, but this Arizona State Syracuse game will be really good.
I agree. Okay, Andrew, let's wrap with bracket talk. Let's pause for 1 second because I got something we need to talk about. Andrew, you know that song. That's the medal ceremony song. And we've obviously seen some medal ceremonies with the Olympics recently. Go America. But Andrew, we also saw the Kansas Jayhawks find themselves at the top of the podium this weekend out in Kansas City. The Big 12 tournament, baby. Champions!
It was a fun weekend. It was really fun. My dad came into town. All my brothers came into town. We lived it up in the Power and Light District a little bit. And it was a fun time. You know, a couple of things. You didn't see all the Iowa State fans that you normally do because they lost on Wednesday. But otherwise, you saw a lot of K-State. You saw a lot of West Virginia. And just to talk, you know, we don't need to go over the games in details, but, you know, that Thursday game against, who do we even play? Oklahoma State. A little bit of redemption there. Glad we've got that in there. You totally saw Oklahoma State run out of gas, you know, 10 minutes into the game. You know, they played the day before. They ran out of gas, and we ran them out of the gym the rest of the time. But it's good to get a redemptive win. Can't lose to a team three times in a year. Especially a team that's not going to make the tournament. So we got that win. And then moving on to the Friday game, K-State, a lot of purple in the building, is kind of over when Dean Wade and Barry Brown are not on the floor. But they made a run for it. You know, their other big guy, their big guy that took us to school. And I can't remember his name. Let me look up his name.
He was good.
He ended up making the all tournament team. Even though his team did not make the finals, but his name is, he's not even on this list.
It's Malcolm Maywin.
He's a sophomore. He was really good. He's got a kind of a goofy shot. I mean, it's all, over the shoulder type of stuff because he's, playing so big. They have him listed as 6'9". He felt like he was 7'5", out there against Mitch and out there against Sylvia for a little bit. But that guy ate our lunch. That guy's the only thing that kept him in the game and really did keep him in the game for a long time. But we eventually took him to school. And then obviously on Saturday, it was, a third time matching up against the Mountaineers. A lot of coonskin caps in the building, in the Sprint Center. Really close for the first 37 or 33 minutes, and then the Jayhawks kind of pulled away in the end, like they do. We didn't have this get down by 15, get down by 20, and come back against West Virginia. So it was nice to get a traditional win against them, Kevin.
We got down by 8, though.
That was early.
We got down by 8 and came back. That was a lot of fun. What a great slate of games. That West Virginia game was one of the more fun games I've seen in a long time. Just back and forth, good teams going at it. Obviously some chippiness going on. It was a blast. It was a ton of fun to watch on TV. I'm sure it was great being in the building. And that was a ton of fun. Obviously a ton of storylines we could talk about here. Malik Newman, MVP of the tournament, obviously deserving, played his ass off. But man, I think we got to talk about my man Silvio. What a crazy weekend for him. I think they kept showing the graphics about how he had more points and rebounds this weekend than he had combined the rest of the season.
Oh, wow. Is that true? Oh, okay. Yeah. Was that a TV thing?
Yeah. And
wow.
But he averaged almost a double-double. I think it was like 12 and 9.8 or something in those games. And you and I had a conversation the last time we had a podcast, whenever that was. And we talked about Mitch and we talked about Silvio. And I said to you, Andrew, I don't know if you remember this. I said, will Silvio play minutes over Mitch? Not in a foul situation, but just literally he's picked to play over him because of the stuff that he brings. And you said no. You said, well, no. I mean, go back to that podcast if you disagree.
I understand. My point largely was I think Mitch was going to get the start and Mitch was going to, get those minutes as long as he stayed out of foul trouble. He wasn't foul trouble, but I think it became obvious.
He wasn't in foul trouble yesterday or on Saturday.
Silvio was a better player.
He was a better player, man.
He was a better player, and he deserved to be out there. Which goes 8 for 8, gets 10 rebounds. I did hear an interview with Bill Self today on one of the selection shows. You know, they asked him if he's going to change the way he's going to play. Like, we can't change the way we play, you know, with two practices before the NCAA tournament. But just imagine if we could play with two bigs. You know, you have LeGerald come off the bench, and then you have Silvio and Doak play together. Now, that's a completely different team.
Yeah.
But that's a lot of talent out there on the floor.
Man, I'm just so excited for Silvio. He's, everything that we've heard is just a killer, great kid. What a sucky situation to be put into. I mean, not sucky, obviously wanted to do it, but like a tough situation to put himself into. And we kept talking about February 1st was when he was going to get it. You know, the light was going to turn on. Well, it was actually, you know, March 8th, but whatever.
Right.
It happened in time. And I feel so much more confident now about our front line than I did a week ago or 2 weeks ago. And that's the cool part. You know, Doak gets into foul trouble, and you got Mitch in there guarding, you know, the other guy's big, and he's just getting run over. We got another guy now. We got a guy that you can trust. And that is a totally different scenario than we had, you know, at the beginning of this year and obviously without Billy Preston. So I feel way better about this team. I mean, the obvious issue that you had with this team was depth on the front line. All of a sudden, we have depth on the front line. Not great depth, but we've got some depth on the front line. And man, what a performance. So I don't know what you were in the building. I assume people were kind of freaking out about Silvio's play.
Oh, sure. He was getting standing ovations every time he sat, you know, got taken out. And there was a couple times where, you know, Bill Self put Mitch back in, Mitch would do something, and then Silvio would come right back out because you could trust him. Like, and I'm not saying you can't trust Mitch, but there's, you know, certain times against certain types of players, like Kanante specifically, where, you know what, Mitch is not going to be the player for that. It's going to be Silvio. And I was talking about having a conversation with my brother about this. Other than Azubuike, who on this team passes the airport test better than Silvio De Sousa? And by the airport test, I mean, you watch those guys walk out of the airport hangar, and you're like, oh my God, we have to play against those guys. So if you look at Silvio De Sousa, you're like, how are we going to ever guard that guy? Now, Doak is a whole nother level. You see that guy, you're like he's the man. He's the ultimate guy. But if you see this guy, the traditional basketball player body, you know, so now that we've got him confidence, it's time for him to pass the rest of the tests, not just the airport test.
Yeah. Good question. I actually really like that. I don't think Mitch passes that test very well.
No.
Mitch gets off a plane, and they're like, oh, cool. Like, looks like, I wonder if that guy plays for Charleston. But that's okay. I love Mitch. Mitch is great. But you're right. He doesn't necessarily look like, you know, neither do a lot of people. Yeah, there's a lot of goofy white guys that have been pretty good college pros.
Sure. Anyway. No, and Mitch will put some muscle on over the offseason. Mitch will be good. But, you know, Silvio, whole nother level in terms of athleticism and just physicality. I mean, that's what he brings to the table. So I'm excited for this team. I think we're peaking at the right time with the right players. And, you know, it'll be a fun week. And so I'll just tell the people out there, enjoy this week. We've got Penn on Thursday. Hopefully we'll move on and have a game against Seton Hall or NC State on Saturday. So enjoy the tournament. Enjoy everything. I'm excited. I think that this could be a special team if things break the right way. Before we move on, Kevin, before we send people off on their ways in the March Madness ways, we have the Jayhawk Talkies to do, the much anticipated Jayhawk Talkies that we need to get done before the tournament starts.
Yes, we do. Andrew, I'm going to let you take the lead here. You're going to host this, if that's okay.
Do I have to give like a monologue, a Jimmy Kimmel monologue?
No. And these are not going to be very political either. I don't know if you saw, the ratings were not good. Everyone blamed the politics involved. No, I don't think that's true at all. I think it was the movies weren't very good.
I think it was Netflix. Everybody was on Netflix.
Okay, Andrew, let's do the Jayhawk talkies. Often imitated, but no one has quite come to what the Jayhawk talkies are. Obviously much more important than what the media votes on. Let's get into it. This is the sixth annual?
We've done it since we started this podcast in 2012, so around there.
Okay.
Something like that. So since the 12-13 season, so that's okay. The sixth-ish.
Let's do it. All right, what do you got?
Okay, so we have what we're now calling the Frank Mason Big 12 Player of the Year. You know, after Frank Mason last year, it used to be the Andrew Wiggins, but we're going to change that name. The three candidates that I had listed are Devontae Graham, Trey Young, and Keenan Evans. And I think we can all unanimously pick Devontae Graham as the winner of this. He won the AP. He won the coaches. He's going to be in the conversation for National Player of the Year. I don't know if he'll get it, but he's going to at least be first team All-American on a lot of people's lists. Devontae Graham, our leader. Also, Jayhawk Talkie, Frank Mason, Big 12 Player of the Year. Thoughts, Kevin?
I completely agree. He was excellent, especially down the stretch. He had periods of time during his senior season where he didn't shoot the ball very well. In fact, he didn't really shoot it that well in the Big 12 tournament, but like it felt like when you needed a basket, he came through, and that's really been the case all year long. He's been great. Obviously, a senior leader brings a ton to the table that's not in the box score, but even in the box score, Andrew, he averaged a ton of assists, the most assists on the team since was it like Aaron Miles or something, like a crazy number, and still averaging like 17 points. So absolutely deserving, best team in the league, best player on that team. Trey Young.
We're gonna move on to the Bill Self Coach of the Year. The candidates that I had listed are Bill Self, Chris Beard, Jamie Dixon, and Mike Boynton. Thoughts, Kevin?
Yeah, this is tough. I would probably give it to Chris Beard if I had to pick one.
Yep. We'll go ahead and check that off. Chris Beard probably deserves it the most. Bill Self's probably not gonna win his own namesake Jayhawk Talkie Award. We give him enough love, but I think that Chris Beard should have probably won more Big 12 awards. I think maybe he was a co-coach in one of them.
Yeah.
And I think that may have been the AP, not the coaches. I don't know which one it was. Chris Beard did a lot in Lubbock, a team that I think was predicted seventh, ended up finishing third, at least by seed in the Big 12. Took his team. They're three seed in the tournament, Kevin. They're three seed.
Yeah.
No, on no one's radar to begin the season. And you know, he'll have a squad coming back next year too.
Get so this. Chris, I was looking at a screenshot that we took last year talking about the Big 12 conference odds. Guess what their odds to win the Big 12 tournament were last year?
50-1.
Plus 3,300. So not that far off. Yeah. Kansas was even last year, by the way, even odds, plus 3,300. You win 100, you win 3,300. That's what their odds were last year. And they've turned into what they are now. Couple freshmen that are awesome. You got to give it to Chris Beard.
All right. Let's move on to the exact opposite of this. This is the Scott Drew Douchey Coach of the Year Award. Mm. This was a fan favorite amongst the Jayhawk Talk fan club. We're going to include Scott Drew as is known. We have Shaka Smart in this. We also have Bruce Weber, and I'm going to throw out there, I'm going to nominate Bruce Weber for this award.
You know, the Ask Fran comment probably solidifies it. The other two are pretty douchey too, but I think
Shaka didn't do anything crazy this year.
Nope.
He just is Shaka. Scott Drew didn't do a whole bunch, but you know, he did get the award named after him. It's the Ask Fran thing, you know, seals the deal.
Yeah.
So congratulations to Bruce Weber. We're moving on to the Annoying White Guy of the Year Award. Three candidates I'm going to toss out there. Dean Wade from K-State.
Yeah.
Jake Lindsey from Baylor. And Brady Manick from Oklahoma. Ooh. Brady Manick with the creepy Larry Bird sort of mustache, but also the Larry Bird stroke from three. So this Brady Manek guy, kind of annoying. But, you know, who are your thoughts on those guys?
See, this is tough because Dean Wade's been on this list. He was there last year. I actually kind of like Dean Wade now.
Yeah, no, I do like Dean Wade.
And this is what's frustrating. Like, he is an annoying white guy, but he's like an annoying white guy that probably is going to be an NBA player. Like, maybe. I mean, he might get drafted. Maybe not this year, but that dude's good. Like, he's actually really good. And I don't know if I can give it to him. Where are you falling on this?
Well, I don't think you can give it to Jake Lindsey because Jake Lindsey...
Yeah, he didn't really do much.
He misses too much.
Yeah.
Like, when I watch other teams play, well, in the clutch, Jake Lindsey does not come up. So I'm going to go with Brady Manek just because I really don't like the mustache.
Yeah, he made 4 of 6 from three against us in that win. And he didn't do that the rest of the season other than one game where he had 6 of 8 from three and against Oklahoma State. So let's give it to him because that's an annoying white guy thing to do is to go 4 for 6 from three. Let's give it to him. Brady Manek.
Freshman, you know, maybe he's got a legacy to live up to here. We have the Where Did They Come From Surprising Team Award. Two candidates, I'd say, Texas Tech and Oklahoma State. Which one, you know, gut feeling would you give it to?
I think you got to give it to Texas Tech.
But Oklahoma State should deserve some consideration.
I agree. I think preseason, KenPom, they were 50th. And guess where they finished in KenPom?
12th.
51st.
Oh, Oklahoma State?
Yeah, no, 56th.
Oh.
Sorry.
Oh, okay.
So they theoretically, I mean, whatever. KenPom does some interesting analytics to try to forecast preseason. I don't trust KenPom early. I don't really trust KenPom until like conference season rolls around. But I guess what I'm getting at is from an outdoing what you were supposed to do standpoint, Tech was 33rd in KenPom and finished 12th.
Right. So that's where my head was.
I think I'm going with Texas Tech.
Yeah, I agree. They did a lot. You know, getting a 3 seed is incredible for what at least it was forecasted for them. The next award is a controversial one. This is the Travis Ford Hot Seat Coach of the Year. Travis Ford, the namesake of this, was on this list for a long time and eventually fired 2 years ago. Two candidates. I don't think anybody's getting fired this year, but we'll say three. We'll say Steve Prohm at Iowa State finishes last 4-14. Shaka Smart, but came on towards the end of the season, makes the tournament. And then Bruce Weber, you know, has a good team, 4 seed in the Big 12, but people in Manhattan hate the guy. So we've got to give this award to somebody. Who should we give it to?
Yeah, by process of elimination, those are the only three that can be on this list, right?
I don't think
Lon Kruger ain't going nowhere. I mean, Scott Drew ain't going nowhere. Jamie Dixon obviously is going nowhere. He'll still coach that team for as long as he wants to. No one's firing Huggins. No one's thinking about firing Chris Beard or Bill Self. So, like, those are the only ones left on the list. And Iowa State I think they're going to be really good next year. I don't know if they're going to be great, but they're going to be good. Those freshmen are good. I don't think you give it to him. I think you give him at least another couple of years. So it comes down to Shaka and to, who was the other one? To Bruce. I think you give it to Bruce.
I think you give it to Bruce too. he's in no danger because I think next year he's going to have probably the best team he's ever had. They're going to be looking, I mean, just early prediction, they'll, you know, finish top 4 again, but probably top 2 or 3 in the Big 12, just for what they have coming back. And I think they have a lot of talent, but
great.
Let's give it to Bruce just because they still hate the guy. They hate him.
It doesn't make any sense. He's good. Like, you're K-State. What do you expect? You want, like, you're not going to get freaking Coach K to come. Bruce Weber's good. He's a goober. Like, you got to get used to that. But But man, I think you give Texas a break with Andrew Jones and that whole situation. You know, they brought in Mo Bamba, like, so he's recruiting at a decent level. I think Shaq is fine. Making the tournament helps. If he hadn't made the tournament, maybe that's a different story. They did have 14 losses. Like, Texas only had 19 wins. They don't even have 20 wins yet. So like, let's not say Texas had a great year, but I still think it's Bruce.
All right, let's move on. We've got two more. These are important awards too. The second to last one here, the penultimate award is the Kim English F That Guy Award. And this one is like F That Guy in the sense of, you could think of it in a, you know, true derogatory, you know, F that guy, or you think of it in terms of, you know, that guy's really good, but, you know, screw that guy. Just so there's a little bit of, you know, some sort of respect baked into this award. I have two candidates. One is Sags Kanante from West Virginia and Trey Young from Oklahoma. I think those are the two you have to consider.
Those are the two. Yep. They were on my mind. Both those guys were on my mind. Like, when you brought this up, I was like, it's got to be down to those two. I think I give it to Kanate after Saturday.
Hands down.
After Saturday, Kanate's the guy. Trey Young, for most of the stuff that he did, although that quote at the end of the year when Devontae won the Player of the Year award, what was the quote? It was something like, If
you award it to the best player on the best team, then Kansas should have all the Big 12 players of the year for the past 14 years.
And the point is there, right? Like, I agree. Agreed. With you. Yeah.
Totally agree with you, Trey.
Right. Like, people were mad about that. I'm like, no. I totally agree. Who could have been players of the year that should have been, now that you go back?
But I think this is primarily an on the court award.
Yeah, and Kanate obviously steals that. I mean, he's the obvious candidate.
I mean, there's a lot of respect because that dude blocks shots with both hands.
He's good, man.
He's fearless and does not care if he gets a goaltending. So, like, there's something to that. But also, F that guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he got into it with the fans at the end of the Big 12 title game. So there's an element of that, too.
Yep.
But I think we should give it to Sex Kanate, a worthy winner of the Kim English F That Guy Award.
100% agree. He's obviously, I think he's the winner. And
he's a sophomore.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. So he'll be back probably.
He'll be around.
That guy could be on the list for a while. He lost 3 games to Kansas this year. I don't think he's a big fan of KU.
No.
So we've
got the last one here, Kevin. This is probably the most prestigious award we give out here on this podcast.
Yeah.
And this is the Marshall Henderson Sportsman of the Year Award. This is awarded to someone who exemplifies the sportsmanship of said named Marshall Henderson. If you don't remember Marshall Henderson took the college basketball world by storm several years ago in an awesome way. Flip off the crowd, would make up little dances, was seen drinking in the Power and Light District after Ole Miss won its game a couple years ago in the opening round. So great piece on him. I can't remember on what site it is, but he's playing in Iraq. He's really? Playing basketball in Iraq. Yes,
what?
He is. Yes.
Oh, man.
Which is great. That there's no better place in the world for Marshall Henderson than Iraq.
I had no idea. Wow. That's
I want great. An Iraqi basketball jersey with Marshall Henderson's name on the back.
Oh, I would pay all the money for that.
I want that. So I'm willing to accept other candidates here, but these are the two that I have. One, Bob Huggins. As a coach, we don't award this usually to coaches, usually to players, but I think Bob Huggins got a little salty a couple times with the refs, especially at KU's expense regarding referees. The other one is Trey Young. Got quotes, about not winning the Player of the Year. Quotes about Sharon Collins in the sense of that he didn't pick Kansas because Kansas doesn't award or doesn't produce good point guards. This was said right before Sharon Collins' jersey was retired.
Oof.
Otherwise, casting up threes like LiAngelo Ball, and just a general overall. I mean, I don't think he's got a bad attitude, but just who he is, how he approached the situation, and those two quotes. But any other candidates here? Maybe Bruce Weber.
Yeah, I'm racking my brain a little bit. You know, I like Huggins, and so it's.
Oh, I do too. I do.
But the point is of this award, like, it's not a negative award. We love Marcel Henderson. We've given this award to people in the past, like Brandon Green.
It should be named the Brandon Green Sportsman of the Year. Like, he should. It's mostly to our own guys, but I don't think we have. Maybe Diedrich Lawson.
Yeah, we got a bunch of sweethearts. Yeah, Diedrich might be the guy next year. I hope he is, because that'd be great. But I think it's Huggins, and I think the reason is that game 35-2. I think that's the reason, and that was.
And in a more legitimate sense, he did give Bill Self that sweet pullover.
That's a sportsman move. Yeah, no, I think it goes to Huggins this year, and I, like I said, it's not a negative award at all. It's a positive award on the Jayhawk Talkies. Some people think it's a negative, but we don't. We mean it positive.
I am getting a text message right now. Trae Young is responding to not receiving this award again with quotes like, he should have won this award. Like, he's
already responding.
He's already, yes. He's already riled up.
Like, he's, I should've, already mad.
You know, Bob Huggins says things crazy every year. He should have won this for the past 6 years. I'm like, you know what? Yeah, maybe he should have. Maybe he should have, Trae.
Trae, give it up, man.
That'll do it for us, Kevin, from the Jayhawk Talkies. It's March. We have the brackets in front of us. We're looking at them. We play Penn on Thursday. March Madness is here, Kevin.
Yes, it is. We will be back after hopefully 2 wins this week. And hopefully previewing the Sweet 16. If we lose, there's a chance we might not podcast for a little while, because that's generally what we do. But hopefully we'll be back on Sunday to talk about the Sweet 16 and potential Elite Eight matchups coming up. But until then, get those brackets out, ride Kansas all the way to San Antonio, and we will chat with you next week on the Jayhawk Talk Podcast. Rock, Joe. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. And if you love it, then I love it, because we Hawks, baby. I tried to tell them every time we on the court. I tried to tell them that we never coming up short. I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us. They know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel. They know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Uh-huh, yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same for the fans. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering, all them tournaments appearing with no team that's interfering. 9 times get to cheering with them banners held high and the crowd going wild. Night before the Final Four, you can't even sleep now. Yeah, we at the peak now, we can't even leap down. March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now. If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the boosters showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas
with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court. So we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together. But win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man. But one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan.
I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces.
It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
this
baby.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks.